Greetings, Apropos-y, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Yay!
We're here.
Okay, so Jenna's...
I'm drinking.
Drinking. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Dr. Fix-It, because something needs fixing.
Because life needs fixing.
I'm wearing my Dr. Pepper shirt.
Yep.
And I have a Dr. Pepper bottle.
Jenna is showing us her boobs that have writing on them.
Yep.
Yeah. Look at the underside, baby.
That's some good underboob.
Right? Thank you.
It is very nice to see you with boobs big enough to have underboob.
I didn't get boobs until I was 30.
I know. So we've discussed it many times on this podcast.
Now, they're relatively perky, too, for 40-year-old breasts.
So you got a Dr. Fix-It. What about you, James?
I was over at Hum's Liquor today and picked up from Minneapolis Cider Co., a place that I've never gotten it from before, a mango habanero cider. It looks very, very charming. Visit the cidery. Blah, blah, blah. Address. Follow along at these places. Ingredients: apple, mango, habanero. Cool. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, we'll give this a shot.
That's not a shot. That's a sip.
That is not a sip.
Wow.
Okay, that was a gulp.
Yep.
Yes.
Ooh. There are things happening to James's face right now.
Friends, I think I just found a new favorite cider.
Ooh.
This might be better than the one that I have long looked for and tried to replace.
Oh,
like this might.
How fickle is James's love?
Well, you know, it's only been 15 years of searching. So there's that.
How fickle is James's love? He so easily discards for the new.
I mean,
15 years later.
If the new is like that. Jesus.
I also happen to be drinking a cider tonight. I am drinking Duluth Cider's Chai.
Mm-hmm. That sounds delightful.
I got the last bottle that they had when I was there.
Ooh,
I went in to get my growlers refilled, and they were like, "We have one growler of chai left." And I was like, "I will take that one."
Weirdly phenomenal feeling, isn't it?
Mm.
How is it?
It's also phenomenal. It's got those chai spices. It's got the cinnamon, the nutmeg, the
chai spices.
No, it is. It's pretty. It's like a cold mulled cider, and it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, Duluth Cider knows how to do a good thing. what y'all been up to? Because my crazy neighbor lady. I was going to say, because crazy neighbor lady needs a hobby.
Yeah?
I don't know if I've told you about this on the podcast before, but this is the new neighbor who was sweeping the alley.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like you could mention that, yeah.
I look out the window, and she's walking down the street with her leaf blower cleaning the gutters.
I mean,
but
that's kind of sweet, though. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of fine with it. It seems like the kind of thing I might do.
That does seem like the kind of thing you might do.
And you're also crazy, James.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like, you're... Okay, so here's the thing. Like, is she shaking her fist at houses as she goes by?
No, she's very sweet.
Ranting at people?
Okay. She's very sweet. So she just obviously needs a hobby of some sort. Like, she needs something to do with her day.
Maybe leaf blowing is her hobby. Why are you yucking her yum?
Are you saying that blowing out her neighbors is...
I'm saying cleaning the street gutters up and down the streets is not normal.
That's a little different.
And again, not wrong per se, just sounds like she needs a hobby.
I mean, like, okay, but Salsa, there are many things that you do that are not normal.
Right. But those are my hobbies.
So maybe this is hers. That's just what I'm saying. Maybe...
judging?
Maybe when she cleans out a gutter with a leaf blower, she gains some personal satisfaction in... I don't know why you would actually do that, but maybe there's something that, you know, that gets her in her spot.
Anyway, I did nothing.
I agree. It's a little bizarre, but whatever.
Oh, I made a bowl.
Yeah, you did.
It's very pretty.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
In other news, I sold a bowl.
Yeah, you did.
Already? I thought you were going to hold on to that.
I was, but then my mother-in-law asked if she could buy it, and I was like, yes, absolutely.
Damn,
if I'd known you were taking offers, would have started a bidding.
I wasn't planning on taking offers, but it and to be fair, the Burl that this came from her mother's or her father's woodpile, you know. So,
oh, okay.
You know, this is, I got this from my wife's side of the family, so it only seemed fair. So.
But I get that. That's
not I've got another bowl half done right now that is a juniper root.
Yeah, right now it's just a plate
and resin.
A really thick plate.
And it is so fucking pretty. Like, I don't know if you know, but juniper has this, like, red heartwood. Mm-hmm. And so it's got just... And because it's a root ball, it's the grains are just going everywhere. And so it's just got these red swirls in it. It's really fucking pretty.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when that one's done. And then the black walnut that's been drying since last summer is about dry and ready to finish out. So I'll have some little black walnut bowls soon as well.
When people do this more like as their lifelong profession, mm-hmm. right? Is that... do they have, like, drying kilns?
Yes.
That help them to...
Yes, the answer is yes.
Okay. Huh. I imagine those are somewhat prohibitively expensive for the...
Not really.
Journeyman?
Not really. I could probably have dried these a long time ago, but I, at the beginning of this, set myself a hard rule that I wasn't going to. You know, I was going to let nature do its thing, because I am not the kind of person who likes to wait, and so forcing myself to wait, I felt was kind of important to the process.
That's a very not. I understand that this is going to come across as being incredibly insulting, but that's a very me kind of thing.
Mm. No, I was the same with the cider that I make, you know, the mead and the cider. It was like I needed something that was going to be a long-term thing that I had to, you know, force myself to stick with, because then when it does pan out, it's all the more sweet.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's what I've been up to.
That's fantastic. Nice.
What have you been up to, James?
So today is Bryn's birthday.
Yay! We should have had it on this week as opposed to last week.
The weekend was spent very much in celebration of that birthday. It is her 30th.
Oh my god.
Ew. And so many things to celebrate that.
Did you get her a walking cane? Because
funny. And she does say that she's old now, but also, I try to avoid anything that ends up in us doing math about the differences in ages.
Sorry, I choked.
That's
on something.
Fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it the dust
your old age.
Of our age? Yeah, that might be the case.
May not really evolve to be accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. The festivities began Saturday morning with us both getting manicures and pedicures.
Aww.
This is my first experience with professional manicure and pedicure.
How did it go?
How was that for you?
It was fine. I didn't realize how much having ticklish feet would make one very specific part of the process incredibly difficult. And that is when they go to scrape the skin, yeah. You know, to like make your feet all baby soft and everything like that by removing the calluses. I have a lot of callus on my feet and it tickles like crazy. And I was trying so hard not to move, but I was definitely like squirming and absolutely laughing. I feel like she took pity on me, and the stylist, the specialist,
the technician,
the manicurist.
Yeah,
the manicurist
took pity on me.
Sure.
But they also like nobody asked me if I wanted to get polish, so I ended up not getting polish on my hands and feet.
You could have asked. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, they led me away, and I was like, oh, this is the next part of the thing. And then they brushed up my nails and trimmed everything and did all of that stuff, and then they were like, oh, you're done. And I was like, oh, okay.
I wanted rhinestones.
No, I was thinking just like a clear polish. None of the colors of orange were really...
They didn't speak to you.
They weren't like road cone orange. They were like soft serve orange. Which isn't bad.
Did they only have orange?
No, they had many colors, but if I'm going to get...
James' favorite color.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I pay attention.
we both know that salsa does not.
Salsa, your favorite color is red and or green, depending
colors
on the
colors are made up, anyway.
I mean, that's true. But yeah, from there, we went to collect... Bryn has a tradition on her birthday of going around to specific stores and getting the free birthday swag that they promise her for buying stuff from them faithfully for the rest of the year. And so she usually does that by herself, but this year we went together. And it was very pleasant. We had a lovely time. Got home, dropped everything off. I went up to my parents, had a cookout. I got to hug my parents, and that was amazing. I got to hug my sister and pick her up and like fling her around, and it's been too long. So there was that. And then Sunday she did a like 5 or 6 movie marathon. Which I've heard is the style. Very cool people do that.
And other ruffians as well.
Yeah. not everybody has to do 10 hours of Twilight. But, you know.
Yeah.
That's, I'm happy that they don't. So there's that. But yeah, watched a few movies. The more times I watch The Decoy Bride, the better it gets. Like, it was already a good movie. It's a fantastic film. But then the more times you watch it, the better and better it gets. I feel like you might have either... That you will have a strong reaction to it one way or the other.
Okay.
Yes. But all right. I think you might like it.
Well, I'll put it... Oh, yeah. I will take this delicate little thing and just kind of toss it onto the heap of other things that I'm supposed to be watching at some point.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever blame you for not having seen a movie, but I always look forward to the opportunity to show you a film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because people are like, hey, we're going to watch this thing now. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got such a giant stack over here. Like, I'm not...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, today is her birthday. So, she's visiting her parents while we podcast.
Yay. Yeah. Very cool.
Jenna?
I'm glad I didn't ask her for this week.
Yeah.
What have I been up to?
Yeah, it sounded like there was a tale to tell, so let's have it.
Astute listeners may remember last week when I talked about various stressful things happening to me shortly before podcasting. One of the things that I did not get into because I didn't want people to think I was just going crazy was that I thought maybe I had seen a mouse. And I was a little freaked out about that. And so then on Wednesday, I definitely saw a mouse. So... yeah, there are mice in my apartment. So I've been spending a lot of time at Joe's.
So, Jenna?
Yes? Yes?
Did you at some point, like, just spitballing here, did you at some point, like, visit a island nation and, like, throw an idol in the shape of a rat into a volcano or something?
Like, you angered the mouse gods.
Like right? Exactly. Like, is there a tiki mouse out there in the world that's just like, Jenna is going to get hers?
I mean, I had somebody ask if I was the Pied Piper. And I was like, I play a variety of instruments, but none of them woodwinds. So I don't think so.
I figured that somewhere out at Fest, you accidentally... stepped on the foot of a small mouse fortune teller and did not apologize.
Oh, a Romani grandmother mouse?
Also, Romani grandmother mouse is amazing.
There is a children's book. Yes, absolutely.
I am writing this children's book already.
It has flavors of American tale already.
You should co-write it with an actual Romani person.
Oh, yes, that is my intention, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually saw Mouse on Wednesday, messaged maintenance to be like, hey, you guys exist so that I don't have to deal with this shit. stopped by my apartment briefly on Friday after they said they set up mouse stuff and it was just poison. And I went, this is not going to do. I got sticky traps, when I was doing my regular shopping on Sunday, and I set those out. And I had to actually, like, steal myself to set these fucking things up. But I had guesses as to where they might be coming from, because I have a baseboard heater that runs along the wall, and so there's any kind of hole. So I put sticky traps where those holes are along those baseboard heaters. and I caught something very shortly before we started podcasting. So I'm back over at Joe's. I'm in his bedroom as opposed to the back room of Echoey Doom. So hopefully this is sounding a bit better anyway. But yeah, it was not dead. And it was very tiny. Which makes me think, number one, like, and there was no way I was going to be there with a squealing mouse. That wouldn't have been good for me or the podcast, frankly. But that also, to me, indicates babies, which indicates many more mice, which I am not happy with.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That is an issue.
An issue, yeah.
But that happened right before, like I said, I was all ready to podcast, and I was actually... Salsa had been like, hey, can we delay for 5 minutes? And I was about to give him shit. And I was like, no, let's make it half an hour.
So, Jenna, out of curiosity,
yes.
Have you recently, I don't know, stood in front of a mirror with a candle and said bloody mousy 3 times?
Nope.
Hmm.
Nope. So I think what it is... Because I've thought long and hard on this, because it's only been over the past couple of years, right? That like, honestly, just the past year, that I've had horrible mouse stuff. Yeah. Oh, you have a thought.
I know what it is.
Oh?
Yeah. Jenna, you're a fucking Disney princess.
Nope.
The woodland creatures are trying to come do your dishes, Jenna.
You know what? If they actually start doing my dishes or make me a fucking ball gown, then I'm in. But in the meantime, no, you're done. Get the fuck out.
There's
sorry,
a lot
Mike.
Of confused woodland creatures out there right now going, we're trying to make friends with her and she just won't. She's
It would be deer, but they can't fit in next to the baseboard heater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I don't think that is the case.
I think there is an opportunity you are missing.
They're gonna have to come at me with the clean dishes and the sewing first. They're gonna have to present those gifts ahead of time.
Okay.
And not just run around my fucking apartment.
All right, you got to leave some needles and thread out for the sparrows, though. Otherwise, they're never. You gotta help. They help those that help themselves, Jenna.
Also, they can't open drawers, so yeah.
you got.
I actually do have some needles and thread sitting out.
Well, then they're just being lazy.
Yeah. No, my thought. Your thought is better, Salsa. Although.
Although deeply flawed.
So flawed.
As is tradition, yeah.
My thought was that, so there's cats, right? Have very specific cat scent. And for the most part, the scent of a cat will deter mice, except for a select group, that the cat scent will actually draw mice in. Which is, I guess, like a partial design thing to make it easier for pets to get them or something. I don't know. But so my thought is that I smell. And,
I mean,
mice like it.
Either one of us could have told you that. Oh, like a cat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, after quarantine for a year, yeah, the aroma. I mean, oh, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, can you have pets?
I mean, the apartment complex is dog friendly. I'm not sure about cats, but I am allergic.
Oh, that's right.
So no.
Even like one of those short hairs or the bald ones that don't have the.
Maybe, but the thing is that I feel towards pets like many of my friends feel towards children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're great when they're somebody else's. Mm. But I don't want any of my own.
Right. I was just wondering even if somebody could just bring their cat over for, like, an hour just to get a little cat smell in there. But yeah, if it's going to drive you away as well as the mice, then it really has defeated the purpose.
Right.
Also, because maintenance did set out poison, I'm not inviting animals.
Oh yeah, that's a good.
That's a pretty good point.
I have concerns about them putting out poison when they dwell on the
apartment complex. That's
I don't know. I might bring it up. We'll see what happens.
Like, did you walk under a whole fucking string of ladders or something?
No.
You seriously have the worst of luck with this.
I really do. Like, and it's one of those things, like, Joe was mentioning the other day, he's like, I know you're not crazy, but it definitely sounds crazy.
There is a mouse-spiracy happening, like, here, and it's weird.
Right? Yeah. No, like, the little fuckers are out to get me. Like, I literally am considering that there is some kind of mouse army that has it in for me. Something kind of Nutcracker-esque.
The Rat King.
Yeah.
Feel like you may have wronged Disney one too many times.
Eh. You're gonna get Jenna.
Oh god.
Oh boy.
Fuck you. Because I had nightmare when I was a little kid that I owned a Disney plush doll, like a little Mickey Mouse plush doll. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually own a Mickey Mouse plush doll, but I had a dream that I did. And it came alive, and it attacked me. This might be where my fear of mice comes from. I don't know.
I mean,
goodness.
It attacked my family first. It went for my brother first.
That's messed up.
We were still in bunk beds at the time. And then, like, Mom was, like, yelling at us to go to bed and stop that ruckus. She opened the door, and then it attacked her, and then it came for me, and I woke up. I have issues. I think is the thesis.
Yeah, I think the last 10 minutes can be distilled down to those three words, I think.
I have issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like a few hundred episodes of this podcast can be distilled down into those three words.
I thought that's why I was here.
That's kind of why we're all here, Jenna.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
but it's my podcast, so...
Uh-huh. Where is that?
Yep.
So anyway, mouse stuff. But also, Joe's Neighborhood last year started doing monthly cookouts in a little cul-de-sac-y area, because they have a little cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a real cul-de-sac. It's just a, like, a turnaround thing at the end of the block, right?
There's no bag for it to be the ass of?
Yeah, it's round, but, like, it doesn't have houses all along it and stuff. I don't know. But I like how suburban it sounds to say that my boyfriend lives at the edge of a cul-de-sac. but they had a, they started doing, outdoor grilling thing last year when, all of the riots and unrest was happening.
Yeah.
Just kind of as a get to know your neighbors so that you know who to look for while everything's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, people bring meat and Joe grills it and people bring other things to eat. I brought beer. And,
Joe grilled that too.
Oddly, it was weird. but yeah, and it was just like we're all, you know, keeping pretty good distance. There's one of the neighbors, their mom makes like 18 million masks, and they're just like, take masks, share masks with people, and there's hand sanitizer and everything else. But like, it's outside and there's, you know, like people maintaining distance and they actually somehow last year one of them got a hold of one of those the big long signs to block roads for like construction areas.
Mm-hmm.
We just set that up right before the circle part.
The road barriers, nice.
Because I mean, Joe's right off of Lake and the 31st, that intersection where, or that the parallel area where like a lot of police activity was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody just took one.
Like you do.
It wasn't bolted down.
Yeah, fuck 12, this is mine now. Like, what are you gonna do?
I mean, are you gonna let the cops take it and use it somewhere else?
Right.
That too.
That was a community service, is what that was. So anyway, so set up some chairs, make sure those are about 6 feet apart. Yeah, just hanging out, chit chatting, getting to know people.
Nice.
Met somebody who just moved into the neighborhood a couple months ago that grew up as a road renny.
Oh.
like her parents did stuff, and it wasn't like true road renny, like they still came back and forth, but they did multiple festivals a year and would be out there for the duration of whichever season they were at. So yeah. So that was fun. We just got to talk about what it's like to grow up at a rent fair. And I'm like, well, I'm only a weekender. And she's like, it doesn't matter. We're all children, hippie, whatevers. Like,
good.
It's like, you understand it, though, which is like, people don't get it when they grow up in a world of 9 to 5. I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like that was fun. Joe's got cool neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot of diversity in the neighborhood. For everything from color, gender identity, orientation, place of origin. There's more than one Southerner that's migrated to this area. We got to meet another one, last weekend. And he and Joe just started talking and like spouting out Southernism. one of the people was like, aren't Arkansas and Alabama the same thing?
Ooh.
And the other guy was like, no, it's first cousins versus second cousins, and Arizona has three more teeth. Or something. Like, so yeah, like it was just, I mean, it was so fun just hearing the ways that Southerners talk about other Southerners. and just, it's kind of the expressions, you know, there's a very visual, not quite a metaphor, but it's a wordplay type, not even wordplay really, just it's poetic. There's a certain poetic to
turns of phrase,
idioms.
Who you calling an idiom?
I don't know specifically.
You, Salsa.
Okay.
I'm your calling mom? You an idiom.
Like, I would have to remember what the actual definition of idiom is, because, like, that's probably closest, I think, but I don't know if it's 100. I don't know, it's just Southerner expressions.
Colloquialism.
Colloquialisms are good.
I don't know. I think there's a specific thing I'm trying to find, and it's just not coming to me. But, whatever. I'm not...
You're talking about stuff like more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, or are you talking about like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except that one is very specifically a simile, and that's not what all of these Southern expressions.
Idiom would
not
be
all similes.
Yeah, a group of words established by usage as having a meaning not deducible from those of the individual words. Like, if it's raining cats and dogs.
I don't think that's quite right, then.
Huh. The dialect of a people or part of a country. A form of expression natural to a language, person, or group of people. A characteristic mode of expression in music or art. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, if you hear a Southerner's, one of these Southern expressions, they're not specifically, like, they're very much so within context. They're just very colorful and almost hyperbolic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Moving regionalisms. On. Vernacular.
Vernacular. Localism. But, parlance.
Parlance.
But the thing is that I don't think all of these are, like, set expressions. It's just ways that people express. Like for
the
me,
jargon
is a specific set of words, whereas what I'm talking about is more of a style of hyperbolizing with imagery that happens.
Oh, like a lingo. A slang, no. A patois.
Yeah, no, god damn it.
The argot.
I mean, I suppose I could look up a thesaurus too and just start throwing out.
I'm trying to help.
Yeah, none of that actually takes into account what I'm saying.
I tried.
I know.
Provincialisms.
Yeah, sure.
I can't.
Whatever. I don't even care anymore. But yeah, it's not specifically a phrase or a set of phrases. It's the way that the adjectives and descriptors are used to set up an image with words. Because it's not always the same exact phrase.
Are you
right?
Able like to give an example?
Well, when the guy was saying Arkansas and Alabama are very different, it's first cousins versus second cousins. There and three more teeth or whatever. Like, there's a very kind of visual hyperbolic thing going on there, but that's not a thing that everybody says. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a style of talking that tends to hyperbolize and use imagery to make a point.
Darmok.
And Jamal?
At Tanagra.
At Tanagra. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of. But anyway, maybe our listeners should tell me what I'm talking about. maybe they know.
Well,
guess the word that Jenna's thinking and can't remember.
How about we give them an opportunity to, you know, fire off their comments on the Facebooks while we take a break?
I think that's a fantastic plan.
Woo.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Okay.
I'm still Jenna.
Yep.
Okay.
We're gonna talk about we're professionals.
Oh,
we're
Salsa honey.
We're professionals.
I mean, you burped at the same time that I was saying my name.
I'm
and since I'm apparently a little quieter, I'm hoping that my name came through, but I'm also kind of hoping it didn't.
No, it did. I was just... There we go. And now I have a beverage. Hey, so, we're gonna play everybody's favorite, game show that people are playing.
Price is Right?
No. The one, a good one.
Oh, Jeopardy with LeVar Burton.
No, one that people are playing across the world at this very moment as they listen to this, and that is what you've been watching, what you've been reading.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And by game show, I mean not at all a game show. I'm sorry. Yeah. Kind of led with that. I fooled you.
Yeah.
I tricked you. So, as my son would say, I tricked you. By completely lying.
Not Jeopardy.
Yes, we are going to play what you've been watching, what you've been reading, but you have to phrase it in the form of a question.
What is no?
Correct.
All right. Okay.
So James has been watching Dr. No.
The Japanese theater.
Oh.
No theater. Oh. I love no theater.
Oh my god. Side story. Because we never do that here. There was one night, Joe and I were at a party, and some drunk guy tried to tell Joe that no theater came from China. And Joe, my Chinese boyfriend, was like, that is incorrect. It is from Japan. Mm-hmm. And this guy was so sure that no theater was Chinese. It's like, well, but like, you know, I lived in Little China for a bit and blah, blah, blah. And Joe's like, that doesn't make your assertion correct. No. Also, I'm not one to generally pull out my POC card, but...
but it is here in my wallet.
You
argue with the Chinaman about this, please.
You are aware that America is not the only place in the world where other countries have shown theater in.
You're also aware that America is not the only place with Chinese people and culture.
Has anybody ever who's on First did no theater?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, Mystery Science Theater had that as an interstitial bit,
okay.
A host segment.
Of course they did.
I feel like it's obvious somebody must have at some point, but yeah.
So anyway, I've been watching Lucifer.
In the form of a question.
Have I been watching Lucifer?
No. The Japanese theater.
You've been watching a no version of Lucifer? That sounds amazing.
Weird.
I mean, I'm not opposed.
So, I haven't finished season one yet, but John and I have been watching. And I started watching because there was an individual that compared me to one of the characters, and I was like, huh. Now I need to know more about this character.
Was it Maze?
Yes, it was Maze.
Oh.
So anyway, and like I started watching this, and the way she starts out, I'm like, is this just because I'm a fighter chick? Because like I'm more than just a fighter chick. I mean, I'm mostly a fighter.
But are you
chick,
Kyle?
But I'm more than just that.
Are you Kyle?
No, I'm not Kyle.
But are you Kyle?
No. No. but anyway, so like, Maze has started developing over the course of the first season, so I'm doing a little bit better about it now. And I can't wait to see where she goes. But yeah. So John and I started watching this, and after the first couple of episodes, we're like, okay, so it's Buddy Detective with Satan? That's
interesting.
And we both decided that it was garbage, but it was very delicious garbage, so we were going to continue watching.
Yes, because, it's potato chips.
It really is. I actually compared it to Ho-Ho's.
Ooh. Yeah. devil food cake. All right.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, we're not through season one yet, but we're getting there, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many more episodes there are of season one, but we've watched a decent chunk of it. And it is, yep, it's garbage, but it's fun. I actually, at one point, I was like, God, this is really giving me some Buffy vibes. Because there's a new monster of the week. There's a new murder of the week. Mm-hmm. There's, a lot of the character conversation is just that kind of pattery type thing.
Mm-hmm. Characters,
yeah. A lot of it is focused on character dynamic, which mm-hmm. I'm fine with for my garbage. Mm-hmm. It's very, very tasty garbage.
Yeah, manages to still feel light and pretty fluffy most of the time, in spite of the heavy content. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And there's just some moments that you're like, oh.
Yes.
Oh. And then, and then fluffy weirdness happens again. But, mm-hmm. yeah. So, yeah.
Nice.
And apparently there's a season 6 coming out at the end of the month. So, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're not done.
I mean, yet. I feel like any show called Lucifer would need at least a 6.
I mean, you would think.
Like, what you would hope.
Right.
You know what they say, you can hope in one hand and shit in the other, and then slap them together and get shitty hopes.
Nobody has ever said that, James.
Incorrect.
Nobody has ever said that on purpose, James.
Also incorrect.
Said it on purpose. Nobody else has ever said that, to the best of my knowledge.
I feel like season 6, episode 6, minute 6, they have to have something mm-hmm. big happen.
Just the number flash on the screen. And the characters are, like, they're not flat, but they're not deep either. They have a lot going on, but they're not, like, hefty, I guess.
Yeah.
At least not so far in season one. So.
So is this comedy?
Kind of.
Oh, yeah, it's comedy murder mystery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Castle was?
Very much like that. Mm. But a supernatural version of Castle. Mm.
I never saw Castle, so I'm just going to scratch that.
One that gets very deep into the Christian mythos. Sorry. The Christian...
It's mythos, that's fine.
Okay.
Whatever. it's not knowing what is in fact. Like, sure, go for it. Mm-hmm. And it is super fun.
Okay.
It's just really fun watching all the dynamics.
So. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it is definitely a fun show.
Anything else, Jenna?
Yeah. I've been very slowly. I started working my way through Studio Ghibli.
Nice.
Because I never have.
Oh.
I've seen random things here and there, but I have mm-hmm. not worked my way. I have not consumed all of what there is to offer.
Sure.
So I started with, I'm only 2 movies in, and I started with the first one, with the jungle and the poison.
Nausicaa.
Yeah.
Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then shortly before a podcast, I watched Graveyard of Fireflies, which
Ooh.
That was That was the thing I watched. That was
fuck.
I know that thing that there are lighter movies ahead for me, but that was yep. That wow. had so many feels.
Mm-hmm.
And so much weight. Yeah.
That that movie does not fuck around.
No.
So good though.
It absolutely is, but also
very good.
It's gonna punch you in your feelings taint.
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yep.
What has been your favorite so far?
Well, I've only, I know I've watched other ones in the past, but those are the first two that I've
sure.
watched.
Oh, gotcha.
Right, in this going through. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So have you seen, like, Totoro or Mononoke or...
I believe so, but, like, it's all just kind of a muddled... back there,
sure.
kind of a thing, so I can't dissect too much right
now. No, that's fair.
Yeah.
And I am actually going about it a bit slower just to make sure that I have time to sit with each movie.
Mm-hmm.
Are they all on Netflix or?
A friend of mine has the entire collection on his Plex account.
I see.
Hey.
So, yes, I've been indulging in that.
Cool.
And many thanks to that friend who can hear us on this podcast. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How about you, Salsa?
My wife and I started watching Falcon and Winter Soldier yesterday. I will not talk about that anymore because people will freak the mm-hmm. fuck out if I do.
Yep.
I mean, I think also I won't freak out.
People are weird about that sort of thing.
They really are. Me being people, yes, I understand.
Yeah. Same. Like, it does kind of take the shine off of it when your apple has a bite out of it.
But does it, though? So, what else? I've been playing Final Fantasy 13. It has been sitting when I bought this PlayStation 3 off of a friend years ago.
Sounds like a jerk.
It came with a bunch of games, and Final Fantasy 13 was one of them. And mm-hmm. I just never got around to actually playing it. It also came with Uncharted, and I played Uncharted, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I got a fair ways in, and then eventually stopped playing. You know, you reach a point where you're like, I'm going to keep playing this game, and then you just never do. And then I finally came back to it years later and realized I was like half an hour from the end. So fuck that.
Right.
That's hilarious.
I was just like, I have not played this game in years. I don't know. I might have to like start a new game just to learn the controls and then load the old game just mm-hmm. to kind of figure out where I'm at. And I was just like, I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to see where I'm at, see if how much I'm, you know, and there was a whole lot of, there was a whole lot of like falling over stuff before I figured out how to, you know, oh, this is how you switch weapons and things like that. And then, the final boss fight and game's over. Oh,
yep.
Okay. Great. I guess I'll play Final Fantasy 13 that's been sitting here untouched forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's different.
Okay.
Like,
it is. Yeah.
Like, the last one I played was 12, I think it was. No, 11? Which is the one that had the Delmasca one. Eh, whatever. But it was the first one. Yeah. It was the first one. Cause, no, 11 was the MMO, right?
No, 14 is the MMO, because I just started that.
No, I think 11 was also an MMO. Eh, but anyway, so I think it was 12. But, like, it was the first one that they... It was the first one that they had after they switched to the MMO format.
Sure.
So instead of having, like, the random encounters, you know, where you'd be walking around the map and suddenly it would go... And the music would change. This was like you saw the bad guys on the map, and you walked up to the bad guys and you fought them. And this has more of that feel. But it's funny because every single time I enter combat, in my head, I hear the Final Fantasy VII fight music. Yeah. Because Final Fantasy VII is that ingrained into my head. You know, it's even though other music is playing, what I hear is that.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And when there's a boss battle, it's da 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 da, you know, that, like, I hear that in my head. But I'm enjoying it. It's... I think I'm enjoying it. Like, the story is... Like many Final Fantasies, the story is very convoluted at times.
Oh.
And, like, the story itself is pretty straightforward, but, like, some of the concepts and some of the deeper subtexts are very...
Right. Sometimes to find the subtext, you have to break the concrete in the basement and dig a while.
Yeah, exactly. It's there's a lot going on, like, clearly. But the combat is, instead of choosing what every single person does, you create, they're called paradigms. And so, like, you'll have your team of three people, and, like, you'll set one of them to be, you know, the magic user, and one of them to be the healer, and one of them to be the person casting, you know,
Thundara.
Well, no, the buffs. There's the word I was thinking of.
Buffs. Oh, sure.
So gotcha. You'll set, like, one person casting buffs, one person healing, and one person doing the magic, you know. And then you'll switch. It's called switching paradigms. And what you'll do is you'll switch to a different paradigm. And now the magic user is debuffing the bad guy, and, you know, a different character is now acting as the tank, and the third person is, you know, now doing something else. Like, you basically, each one has a role. And they just do that role. And you don't have to micromanage what spell they're casting or what they're doing. You just say, okay, I want us in this configuration. You do your thing. And your job...
So it's almost...
Your job is to manage that configuration.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're getting your ass kicked, you'll set it to a paradigm with a couple healers and a tank. You know, so the one person is soaking all the damage and the other two are just casting healing and buffs. And then once you've got, you know, yourself healed up and buffed up, then you switch to a more aggressive paradigm with two magic users and one tank or something like that. And you just kind of go, this is the group dynamic I'm looking for. Do your thing. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's... On the one hand, I like that because you really only have to focus on, like, the group dynamic instead of micromanaging what every single person does. But on the other hand, it's really aggravating when the other people don't do what you want them to do. And there's nothing you can do about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So.
That was something that I ran into a lot.
Like Lego
with...
Batman.
Yes. so.
That was something that I ran into a lot with another Square property that they did with Disney. Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Because you assign spells and you decide, you know, whether you want them to be more protective or more, you know, whether you want them to engage enemies and things like that. And then you give them a couple of healing spells or a couple of potions that they just, like, guzzle down or throw at you constantly, whether you need them or not. Mm-hmm. And you just have to hope that the AI, by random chance, is going to do the thing that you need when you need it. Yeah. This seems like a much more advanced, much more sensitive version of that.
Yeah. So, like, in Final Fantasy XII, you mm-hmm. had a little bit more control over that sort mm-hmm. of thing. Like it was still the same vibe. You were still like, you're going to be the healer of the group. You were going to be the... But you could still be like, okay, you're going to be the magic user of the group, and you are going to target the same person I'm targeting, or you are going to target the person with the lowest HP, or you are going to target the person with the highest HP, or you are going to target, you know, you could kind of micromanage that a little bit and say, this is the style of play I'm going for. You know, either I'm the kind of person who picks off the little guys and then focuses on the big boss, or I'm the kind of person who focuses on the big boss first, gets him out of the way, and then we can clean up everybody else. But you can kind of go, this is how I want to play. This is the style. Whereas with this one, it's whoever you're targeting, everybody's targeting. Everybody's targeting the same person. Huh. You can't spread that out. Like, if you've got a bunch of small mobs that have low HP, you can't go, okay, everybody spread out your AoE effects and we'll just take them all out slowly. Like, everybody's fighting the same person you're fighting no matter what. Which is gotcha. And so there's a little bit less micromanaging going on, which is at the same time more approachable, but at the same time also a little more frustrating because you can't do those things. But
yeah,
the other thing I'm doing is I am rereading The Wheel of Time. And
are you really? I just thought of that.
I'll just touch on this briefly, but I'm because the TV show is coming out eventually at some point here. And the cast looks interesting. But I was just like, okay, the books are finally read. I stopped reading these in college because they were taking forever. And I was like, the books are finally written, so I can read them without having to wait. And I'm rereading them, and I'm remembering a lot of things, and some of it's brand new again because I've forgotten it, so, you know, because it's been so long. The thing that really struck me is it's less of a slog this time. I feel.
Huh.
And okay. I don't know if that's because I don't have to wait a year and a half for the next book. Or
how
if I'm,
old were you when you started reading?
Well, I was reading in college. I was reading these when I was 17, 18, probably. 18 or 19, somewhere in that range. You know?
Yeah.
But this is also the period of time where I was just consuming books. You know, mm-hmm. I was reading a lot more than I was now, so, you know, going through huge books like that were not uncommon for me at this point in time.
Sure.
But I just, yeah, I think it's just because I don't have to wait so long that they're just not so... I just don't feel like I'm plodding through them as much.
Well, I think you've also heard enough of my stories that anything else seems fast-paced in comparison.
There is that.
There is that.
Well played.
Thank you.
Slow clap for you.
Yeah, it's the only kind I can have. So, yeah. That's pretty good, though.
That's it for me.
I've been doing a couple of different things. I mean, aside from Final Fantasy XIV, where I discovered that I can make a teeny tiny person, and that's just... I love this.
You can make babies?
Speaks to who I am. Not every small person is a baby, Salsa.
I didn't know what you were talking about. I haven't played it. You said you made small people.
So that. But more than that, I've been trying a game that is pretty new, and multiplayer is still in beta.
Oh, by the way, Final Fantasy XI is an MMO, so there.
Is an MMO?
I actually looked it up, too. Yep.
Yeah, all right.
I looked it up, too, and then...
I just know that 14 is, and I thought it was the only one. My mistake. Hash Browns Knighted. I've been playing The Long Drive with a friend.
Why?
It's bad. It is, like, graphically, it's shit. And as far as, like, bugs and glitches, like, when you load a multiplayer game, there is, I want to say, a 9 out of 10 chance, maybe more than that, maybe 90%, that it will, that everything on the map will drop onto the ground and then reset about a foot above the ground and then drop again. And then physics will just, it will just cycle. It will just constantly, everything just drop, which is also the beginning to my EDM track that's coming out. In order to fix that, you have to take all four wheels off the car and dismount the tires from the rims, and then it's fixed for a while until it isn't. And then we took all of it, we scavenged everything out of the starting area, and we put everything into the car, and we drove off with it, and there was a massive physics collision problem in the trunk of the car, and everything we owned rocketed through the physical barriers and is gone now. So, like, our tanks of gas, our water reserves, our binoculars, the weapons that we found, the gas siphon that we found, it's fucking gone. All of it is gone. Unrecovered. The spare tires that we packed, gone. Just driving makes your car break down. As is usual, but, like, rusting very quickly.
The way you drive, like, does.
Yeah. And because that car is just embarrassed to death, literally embarrassed to death. So, but it's all of that completely aside. Like, we were struggling to get it to work, and trying to solve these problems with this, like, really crappy, buggy game. But we also played it until, I want to say, 2:30 in the morning. We played it for like 3 or 4 hours easily, and there are times when it's really beautiful. When we're playing that, and we'll crest a hill, and I'll turn off the motor because fuel reserves are really limited, and we'll coast for a mile or two. And it's dark, and the sky is crammed full of stars. And you can hear the wind outside, you know, the air resistance on the vehicle as you're driving, and the crack of stones under the wheels and things like that. Like, it's really weirdly, eerily beautiful in a completely shitty way. Yeah.
I wanna read my favorite review I've seen on this. I didn't know how to stop the handbrake, so I dismantled at least 60% of the car in anger. 10/10 would play again.
That. Yeah, you accidentally take shit apart constantly.
I'm just like, this sounds like the most infuriating game I would ever play, and I would be done.
And we've played I Want to Be the Man.
I know. Oh, yeah. God.
I've played Surgeon Simulator, and that is easier. And I have the easy option. Like, it shifts for you. Mm. and it operates the clutch for you. Otherwise, you have to do that while you're... And ordinarily, I'm all for that, but I figured for a good multiplayer experience that I...
So it's like a
fucking not.
So it's like a car version of Quap.
Kind of. Yeah. No. It's just like it's a weirdly emotional thing. I don't know. Mm. But yeah, when we were successful, it felt really, really good. And then when we weren't, it was comedy. So that was fine. I've also, like, on my own, been playing Superliminal, which is a gorgeous puzzle game. It feels... It has a very similar feeling to, like, Portal. In that... And the Stanley Parable. It feels like halfway between those two. They put you into a dream state to solve some kind of problem internally, and what you see is the truth. So you use perspective, changing perspective to cause objects to be large or small or to fit together in a way that makes them one object. And it's very weird, but you start to think about things in a very different, very childlike way, and it's kind of fucking awesome. Yeah. If you're holding a box and you pull it close to you, and then you look at it as if from your perspective it's on the other side of the room and huge, and you let go of it, it's on the other side of the room and it's fucking gigantic. And it, like, the puzzles operate on that principle, and it's clever. It's well designed, and the music is nice, and the art is pretty fun. I don't know. It's good.
So. I found another review that I'm very happy with.
What's that? This is, again, for the long drive, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The long drive. I just lost it. I was flipping through and I missed it. God damn it. Basically, this game is so cool. I've never found grandmas and I lost my car door at 5 stars.
Yes.
Just like,
yeah,
these are the weirdest. These are fringe reviews that I would like to have for my fringe show.
Yeah. But it's just a very unique experience, and especially being able to share that with, and like, one of the more hilarious things is that the player models don't look good from the inside, but oh god damn do they look bad from the outside.
Okay.
Like, from the inside, when I was trying this by myself single player, there's a music box on the counter and it's like, use the mouse to grab a hold of the crank and then press this to do this thing, or like rotate the mouse around, and the whole wrist like bent as if it was broken and then just spun in a circle without like clipping through itself, and it was disgusting and holy body horror. And then watching someone else do that, anytime you reach for a door, the arm just extends to the door regardless of whether or not that should be physically possible. It just connects those two points with a straight line that is the arm. And it's very disgusting. And like, Eric was the other person that I was playing with, and his body, when I was playing with Eric, the body of his character was turned in a really non-Euclidean and disgusting way. And like, one of his legs was cranked sideways so that the butt of that leg was sticking out of his crotch. And the knee was bending, and it was like, I could not look into that abyss. So, yeah, we just try not to make eye contact, I think, is the... just don't... If you play with someone, for fuck's sake, don't look at them.
So if I'm going to summarize James's review... the graphics are garbage, oddly serene, very uncanny valley, surrealism shit, 10/10, 5 stars, would play again.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Scarred Me for Life, would play again.
All right.
Yeah. I've been rewatching a bunch of stuff, so that's, you know, neither here nor there. But, yeah, I did a stream on Twitch for Pokemon Snap where I was just the co-star. I was just there to heckle, and I loved every minute of it.
I believe this to be accurate. Yeah. Should we maybe take a break?
Sure.
All right, we can do that. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
There you go.
did you not hear me, or?
I was very startled.
you were like a James in the headlights.
Yes.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Salsa.
Yes.
Ooh, Salsa.
All right. Let's see if I can read my handwriting here. All right. Question number one. Missionary or cowgirl?
Would you rather do good works in another country, like a missionary, or would you rather do good works within our own country, like a cowgirl?
I mean, it sounds like a sex thing.
That's why it probably isn't. It's my thought.
Maybe it's a sex thing.
James.
I'm gonna say cowgirl.
I mean, I'm lazy, so missionary, maybe? I don't know.
Cowgirl for me. Alright. Question number two. Spooning or scissoring?
I prefer doing crafts that do not require a lot of cutting, but are more measurement-based.
A tablespoon is a measurement.
Yes. My point, I guess. Okay.
I got nothing. It was purely tacked on.
I'm gonna go spooning.
Maybe it's like if you eat food that has to be cut, do you prefer to have a cutting implement or do you just use like a spoon or a fork? something like that. Like, would you, if you were eating pie, would you just use a spoon or a fork, or would you also eat it with a knife? I don't know.
I mean, maybe like a hand pie. I could see that.
Yeah?
But it's a hand pie. The whole point is use your hand. That's why it's spelled hand pie.
Yeah, but hands some, have very
some savory
edges.
Pies I will use a knife and fork.
Yeah.
I'm still going to some
savory pies.
I'm not scissoring.
Okay.
I'll go spooning. Yeah, I'll go spooning.
Okay.
All right.
Question number three. One piece or two piece?
I generally wear a one piece bathing suit. If I can find one that's shaped for me, because I don't have a massive amount going on up top, like I've got enough, but my badonk donk is a badonk donk. I got a butt that will not quit.
You do so. Have a redonk badonka donk.
I really do.
But do you have a honky tonk badonka donk?
No.
Okay.
No. Also, that's kind of a personal question.
Yeah, we've never asked those on this podcast before.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I prefer a one piece.
If you're at a place that's serving a lot of different kinds of pizza, do you grab one piece of each, or do you grab two pieces of your favorite to start?
Oh.
And I would say one piece of each.
I would do that with pie.
Yeah.
But pizza, I usually only have one that I can't eat, if I can eat any of them.
Oh, that's so fair.
Alright. I'm actually gonna go with one piece.
Yeah.
One piece, motherfucking one piece.
Question number four. Solo or threesome?
I mean, also that.
I'm gonna go solo. Like, I tend to do a lot. I do a lot of solo shows. When I play instruments, I don't really play with a band. I play on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go solo.
I'm gonna say that Solo was a better Star Wars movie than Episode 3.
Salsa.
I'm going solo. And question number five. Happy ending or grinding?
Is this like with your TV shows, do you prefer realistic character development over a series of episodes, or do you just want every episode to have kind of a Star Trek ending and reset?
Oh, sure. Like episodic versus serial kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I don't care as long as they do it well. Lucifer aside. I'm gonna say I do like to have some kind of overarching thread and flow through, so I'm gonna say grindy.
I, with very few exceptions, I tend to dislike series that have just like every episode's a fucking punch in the gut and a slog. I love character development. I love that kind of thing, but mostly, like, a lot of the shows that I loved as a kid were shows that used the overarching story as a framework to tell smaller stories.
Okay.
Star Trek, Babylon 5, other sci-fi series of the 90s.
You're just okay.
Stargate SG-1. Shit.
Yeah.
But Xena, Warrior Princess. I tend to like that. But I have to say that things like The Expanse really make that shit worthwhile. But it has to be super well crafted if it's not episodic. If it's a really big story, I think it has to be very well done, because I can't fucking stand The Walking Dead. I fell out of love with it almost immediately. I'm glad that other people like it. Can't fucking do it.
Alright.
Yeah.
So
too ham fisted. Happy ending.
Okay.
I think I'm going with happy ending as well. Alright. And now for the context. Question number one, missionary or cowgirl. You are presented with two Western movies. One stars a preacher with a dark past. The other stars a sassy cowgirl who can hold her own. Which do you watch?
Oh, I want to watch them both. Son of a bitch.
I'm going to say... Okay, we watch them both, but which one do you watch first?
I will accept this.
Still don't know. It kind of depends on my mood.
I think I was spot on with my answer, even not knowing the context, as is the game.
What was your answer? I don't remember.
Cowgirl.
Okay. If I know I'm going to be watching both of them, probably the cowgirl first, because honestly, the preacher with the dark past, that one intrigues me a bit more. I like watching people struggle with ethics and whatnot. Don't get me wrong, I love me a sassy cowgirl. I like watching women be strong and empowered and whatnot, and I would really hope that they would get that right. It doesn't always happen.
I mean, it's a Western, of course they will.
But yeah, I like watching ethical struggles. So I think I'm going missionary.
Yeah, I don't remember which one I said. No, I said cowgirl, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I think I'm actually going to change my answer, because as sitting here thinking about it, I'm very similar to what Jenna said. I feel like the ethical dilemma of the preacher, but also those stories are always, I feel like those always are, start out so slow and just kind of let you just inhabit the world for a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like climbing the first hill of a roller coaster.
Yeah, you kind of get steeped into this world where things are not quite right, and you know that eventually things are gonna go the right way, but the preacher just doesn't do anything for the longest time, and just kind of lets that marinate for a while. I always find that so compelling.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Question number two: spooning or scissoring? You find yourself on a desert island. You must make shelter. Do you dig a hole using nothing but a spoon? Or build a structure using nothing but scissors?
Hmm. build a shelter using scissors.
I would probably go scissors as well.
Yeah. Because especially on a desert isle, there's not a lot there to hold ground heat. And so, especially being, you know, at or below the ocean level, it's going to be wet.
I was about to say, if I could dig into a hill easily with a spoon, I would dig myself out a cave or something. But
yeah, we're not talking about a cartoon desert island with just a little mound with two coconut trees. We're talking about you know, something like with mountains or something on it, you know.
I still think. Especially being able to cut branches and that kind of stuff, you're going to be able to make a pallet that will keep you up off the ground. You'll be warmer. You'll be drier.
Yeah. No, I agree. I would use scissors as well. All right. Question number 3: one piece or two piece? How do you prefer gaming? One piece, i.e., gamepad, or two-piece, i.e. keyboard and mouse?
Oh. Depends on what I'm playing.
No, yeah. It very much does.
I feel like we've had this conversation.
We have, and the thing is in the past, I have always been keyboard and mouse every single time. Mm-hmm. In the last 5 to 10 years, I have started leaning a lot more towards gamepad. There are still certain games that I still must play with keyboard and mouse, obviously, but in general, I have been playing a lot more gamepad games.
I really feel like shooters that are first-person shooters benefit from keyboard and mouse.
Absolutely.
I agree with that. Yep.
But MMO styles.
MMO games also keyboard and mouse.
Sure, with the keyboard, yeah, I would suppose so. But having a gamepad for almost everything else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't like platformers, which is what I would use the gamepad for. Yeah, I think I'm going to switch to two piece. I'd much rather play.
Twist.
Yeah, well, that's weird.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with One Piece, because I can play shooters with a controller, but I can't play racing games as easily with a keyboard and mouse. Mm. I can think of more situations.
I prefer keyboard and mouse for racing games.
Mm.
I just don't like racing games.
I do.
Yeah. Like racing games.
Like, with the exception of Mario Kart.
That's because Mario Kart is amazing.
Yeah. That transcends.
Mario Kart is a weird game. I don't enjoy it. I don't not enjoy it.
You want to inject it straight into your veins.
Fine. No. I'm fine with playing.
It's fine.
I'm sure it's fine.
It's a fine pastime. I'm not upset when somebody's like, "Hey, do you want to play Mario Kart?" Like, sure, why not? But I'm not excited over it. I'm not like, ooh. I'm just like, all right, cool. Let's do a racing game.
My children, on the other hand, fucking love that game.
Oh, I believe it. They're probably better at it than I am, quite frankly.
Question number 4, solo or threesome? Do you play games solo or in a group? Video games, specifically. Single player or multiplayer?
Yeah.
I play
the majority of my games on my own because I mostly play puzzle games. So.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows my answer is solo, so.
Weird. I've spent a lot of the last... Yeah, feign surprise. I've spent a lot of the last few years playing mostly multiplayer games. And being able to delve back into single player games has been really amazing. So I've been playing Superliminal, VVVVVVV, Stanley Parable, Fez, all of that kind of stuff. And sure. And it's fucking amazing. I still play multiplayer games, but I think I'm renewing my love of single player games. So I'm going to go with one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number 5, happy ending or grinding? Do you prefer games that have a clear-cut story with an end, or do you prefer games that you can continue to play basically forever?
Depends on what we're talking about. Like, I do like sometimes having a story that has an ending, whatever. I like being able to solve a puzzle and having a thing solved, and that kind of transfers over to story. But like when I'm playing Sims, I don't generally like doing the little side campaign thing. I just want to build a really cool house with a swimming pool. So yeah.
A lot of the games that exist on my, I want to say, like, top 5 list are single-player games under 10 hours. And, you know, or right around the 10 to 20-hour mark, maybe. And a lot of those have the option to play them again or to kind of play them a little more open-ended. Like, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time never has to end, necessarily, but it still has a defined storyline, and I really like that. I prefer that to the constant updates of World of Warcraft or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like the grindy, like, arena shooters or, you know, things like that, I need my game to have a story that has a beginning, middle, and end, and then when it's done, and I move on. You know, I really need to have a game that ends. Because if it doesn't end, then I don't end. You know? And that's a problem. So yeah, just a lot of those arena games, a lot of those multiplayer games that you just kind of keep the replayability that you can just play forever. I never got into them. I much prefer a game with a story, and you know, comes to an end and then it's done and I can move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that has been a Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send 2 emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should be the choices, and the second one should include the context, so we know what the fuck it is we're talking about. Who has
a shout-out? Not that we're going to,
no,
but just so that we can.
Who's got a shout-out? I'm going to give my shout out to the coronavirus vaccine. Thank you, coronavirus vaccine, for helping us finally get, you know, close to the end of this bullshit.
I've got a shout out.
All right.
I would like to shout out to John Oliver for doing Last Week Tonight.
It is a great show.
I sometimes struggle with it because it's very much outrage media. It is designed to make you upset.
Yes.
But it is also very thoroughly researched and cited, and they use their money to accomplish often really fantastic things. Like, completely aside from the hilarious shit that they do, they donate to charity, mm-hmm. and they do good things with their show. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. And I feel like the outrage is pretty much always justified. pretty much 100% of it is like, here's this thing that no one talks about and definitely should upset you.
It's fucking gross.
Mm-hmm.
So cheers on them for having a really good show.
I'm gonna give my shout out to Tomcat, the brand of mouse trappings and
sure.
taking care of things.
I was like, Tomcat, is that a streaming service or something?
Nope.
It's an Apache server?
No, Tomcat brand is what I use for everything, for all of my mouse issues, and I have so many. but, yeah, thank you for existing, Tomcat.
Do we have any final? Oh no, a plug. Anybody's got something to plug? That's where we're at.
Tomcat.
Nope. Okay.
I might have a thing.
Yes.
Eric and I will be looking to stream more video games. I will be looking to stream more video games. Those announcements will be on my Facebook. Also, if you haven't caught Brianna Cecile doing Outer Worlds or Fallout, she just puts on a hell of a show. So please don't deny yourself the happiness of seeing that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any final thoughts?
Yes, I would like to say bye.
All right. We would like to all say thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you to myself for providing the fast five. This could be you. And on behalf, I know, right? On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.